Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to all, especially those who are listening via the tape ministry at home, hoping that you feel part of the Emmanuel family. There are a few extra notices as that were on the, not on the in the weekly news. The Trading Craft trolley will be outside in the car park if anybody wants anything from the Trading Craft at the service. And also, at the back of the church, there are some free visors, which Shelley Morgan made. If you care to have one, at the back of the church, and they are free. Today's reader is Stephen Brain, and the prayers of intercession will be held by Wally Knight. I will now light the Christ candle, after which we'll have a moment's reflection before the start of today's service. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to our worship this day. May the peace and the love of God be with us here and with the people of God everywhere. We are God's children, called to recognize God's love in ourselves and those we come across. Last Sunday service, I overdid it. So I realized it went on a bit longer than expected. I do realize you all will have the reflection, so there's no need to go into so many of the details. At breakfast time this morning, I edited the edited version of what I'm going to say. It should be slightly within acceptable standards of length, at least, not of quality. That's not up to me to decide. We praise God and we sing to the God of love, and we hear and follow the words of Praise the Lord of Heaven as sung by the choir of Wells Cathedral.
Son of God, through the name of God.
as you have read in the newsletter, this is the closing Sunday for our contributions to the Beirut appeal, which will be sent to the headquarters of the United Reformed Church, and they will match the amount with the last lot of what World Concerns had in America. So up until last week, between World Concerns and what the donations had come in, we were close to about £800-900. But our harvest appeal continues still for a few further weeks. Let us dedicate the offering. We thank you for what we have received, and we thank you for what we can give. We pray that what each of us contributes, multiplied by the generosity of those far and wide, may serve the purpose of the kingdom. The Beirut appeal, a harvest appeal, but also the offering that we give for the life of the church and its commitments. Loving and caring God, you that multiply grace, multiply the generosity of our hearts, that we may be truly serving your love. Amen. This has been a strange week in more ways than one. Not possibly individually or probably, but in the sense that where things were calming down, suddenly they get very hectic. The talk of stricter lockdown, cases rising, people feeling at odds with what is happening. And it's very, very difficult for many people. So when we light the candle, we think of those things that have been hard for ourselves, personally, family-wise, loved-wise, friends, and for that which is difficult to the nation and to the world. It's a confusing time. And so we take this time to say to God, look, you're probably just as confused as we are. Help us feel clear about it, that you are part of our life, and let us work together. So we light the first candle, offering to God the hard times and the pains. In the papers you've either got through the internet or picked up, the order of service, the reflection, and the newsletter, I have scattered three illustrations that have to do with the reading this morning. One of them is an actual photograph, the other is an illustration that comes from Brazil, and at the back of the order of service, you have the black and white version of a first half of the 11th century, one of the most illuminated manuscripts that exists that I didn't know until this week, never heard of it. It shows that working. And this leads me to the prayer of thanksgiving and of confession, taking into account the anxiety, the worries, the needs, in a world where people wait and wait and sometimes find nobody to hire them, for the anxieties of not knowing how to feed a family, for the anxieties of wondering who we become and who others are in the midst of a world that sometimes is incredibly generous and sometimes is incredibly selfish. Let us pray. We come to you walking the path of life, meeting you off and on, sometimes recognizing your closeness and sometimes wondering where you are, encountering others who are on the same journey, some we know and some we've never seen before and will never see afterwards. And yet we discover that there is a common quest to discover who we are. And you have called us your children and taught us to call you Father. And within our church, we don't tend to use the concept of brother and sister when we refer to each other. This is who we are. And the more we discover this, the more we feel connected. And for this, we are eternally grateful that we belong. Thank you for creating us as part of a living community. In spite of the mistakes and the misgivings, you have not changed that we are your people. So we thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do, for what we discover and for what there is yet to be done. We thank you that the wonders of your creation haven't finished, and that through the talents and the abilities you have given us, you have invited us to contribute to that development. So we are part of the kingdom that is coming, and the kingdom that you are allowing us to discover as we walk. So forgive us. Forgive us if what we do brings fear into lives of others. Forgive us for the uncertainty that we create, the anxiety that causes others to worry. Forgive us, O Lord, when we get caught up in individual, isolated projects that deny the fullness of life to others. Forgive us when our worries or our concerns become the center of all we are. Forgive us because it is at those times that we lose contact of belonging, of being. So help us. Help us to listen to your voice that comes through different accents, through different pronunciations, but is always the same love. Forgive us if we close ourselves up in isolation beyond what is happening in this current time in the world. Forgive us if we forget those who are close by, who need to be remembered and cared for. And in your forgiveness and in your grace, restore us to the fullness of life that belongs to all, so that your name may be glorified and our lives may be enhanced. And we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now hear the reading for this morning.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and it's from chapter 20. It's perhaps a remarkable parable, and ostensibly one of the more contentious parables of Jesus. Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. And Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the labourers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' Now, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last only worked 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord.
We share the words of the grace, standing if you feel you can. And as we say them, think of what you object on what you've just heard, why it makes you nervous or upset or cross. And we reflect on the text and share the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
evermore. Amen.
Steve just used the word contentious. And probably he's put it rather mildly. This reading always awakens the most passive-aggressive or aggressive-aggressive comments you can come across. It's only found in the Gospel of Matthew. That probably means that nobody had the courage to reproduce it. Why does it upset people? Why does it bring out such intense feelings in the life of the people? And where we see it or where we stand in this reading could possibly explain our reactions. We get caught up in the work and payment when that is just the parable, it's not the story. The story is about the kingdom of God. So why is generosity in the kingdom of God an issue? The parable, as you know, tells a story about something greater than the story itself, and it uses images that people can recognize. In this case, employment, vineyard, even to the last hours of the day. Middle East area, the day began at 6 o'clock in the morning and finished at 6 o'clock in the evening. So that's why the people are wanting to work. I don't know if any of you counted how many times the landowner goes to the marketplace and finds people to be hired. He goes 5 times. Early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then he goes at 5 o'clock in the evening, just the last hour. And then he asks the questions, why aren't you working? And the answer is, nobody has hired us. They have gone from field to field waiting. They haven't been all day in the same place because the landowner would have seen them. And nobody has taken them on. They would happily work. That's quite clear from this passage, because even for an hour's work, they do go. The core of the story is not that of work, but at the payment. That's when people get edgy. In verse 2, the landowner agrees to the daily wage. In verse 4, he agrees to whatever is right. And everybody has accepted these terms. Then he does something strange. At the payment time, he says, start from the end and work up to the beginning. And what surprises everybody is they get a full daily wage. And that's when the grumbling begins. The grumbling is based on expectations, not on facts. The facts have been very clearly set out at the beginning of the passage. They feel cheated. But only those that have worked the whole day and agreed to the daily wage. And we presume, if this makes us nervous, that we are those that have been working since 6 o'clock in the morning. How does the passage change if we put ourselves in the place of those that were only hired at 5 o'clock in the evening? Not expecting a daily wage, but getting one. Being able to go home to buy the food, to buy the wood for the fire of the night. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with anything of this? The parable is not about work, it's about the kingdom. And that is very clear, and this is probably one of the most forgotten verses, one of any parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning. It's a human story speaking about a divine reality. Just think of the audience. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the preceding reading to the one this morning is of the rich man who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven. But when he is suggested to sell all he has, again the money issue, he goes away not very happy at all. They're all important people, or so they believe. Status is undeniable, at least in their eyes. They're Pharisees, they're doctors of the law, young, rich man. Society knows who they are. The vision they have is God is a bouncer at a club who says, you're elegant, good-looking, you're an asset to us, come in and you bring more people like yourself. Or the bouncer that says, you're a scruffy lot, I don't trust you, out. And that's fine, because they are always allowed in. They're always welcomed. But God isn't a bouncer. And the kingdom is not a club. What Jesus points out upsets the whole group of people and their understanding. They have a sense of entitlement. And Jesus, through the parable, is pointing out that's the wrong way of understanding things. The kingdom puts things upside down and has always been that way. The kingdom is not a status symbol, but a place where love is the norm. Jesus makes sure that those who have felt excluded for too long are going to be included. And some see this as injustice. It's strange because nobody says they can't get in, but these people that complain are saying, we don't want to be in the same place as those. And this is where the parable becomes so current, because the world is working on those parameters. But for others, the dream has come true. Now let's bring the two approaches together in the reading, the working approach and the kingdom approach. And what we get is the most amazing narrative of God's love, which points out that justice in the eyes of the kingdom is different from what we human beings understand it. As followers of Jesus, we become part of a new system. The new system centered, interestingly enough, in this parable that we only find in Matthew, which will always cause disturbance. In 40 years ministry, I have never, ever had a Bible study in a group where people could discuss when we use this reading that it hasn't taken up half the time saying this is a sign of injustice. And it comes down to the fact that I feel entitled to get more than others. There is the injustice. But Jesus is saying, hey, I'm talking to those who came in at the last moment. You know, the other ones know what it's all about. As followers of Jesus, we become part of a new system and develop it not as extraordinary, but that the values of the kingdom that Jesus is presenting here become the ordinary. This is the way the kingdom is. And the reality is, in this world today, our world today, the church should always be on the side of those who have been left out for too long. Those who have been bounced out, not bounced in. And the landowner responds to the complaint, and he says to them, why are you complaining? Because I'm generous. And the unsaid answer is no, that you're more generous to others than you are to us. So we have those who are listening to this and those who are in the background hoping for it. Those who listen to it close to Jesus realize that they aren't the center of the story and that Jesus is bringing in to the center of the story those who have never been it. It's like the reading that you see in the window in front of you. He remembers to tell the people that the kingdom is based on those who nobody takes into account. If anything in this passage offends you, and it's taken me a long time, but again, I think we have to revise our values. Why does it offend us? And we may have to convert to the new values. The great challenge of the kingdom. Do you know what follows in the reading? They try and club together to get rid of Jesus. because how dare this guy change what we have accepted as the values of what God is doing. They are beginning to club together to get rid of him, because God's vision is so different and Jesus is teaching us that vision. And that's why we will now hear the hymn, "All my hope on God is founded, Christ doth call, one and all." And this is a hymn that, in the light of this reading, I believe is showing us what the bouncer is doing, saying, "I have no job. Do you want to come in?" It's based on love, not on entitlement. In a few moments, we will be singing, following this hymn, but now let us light the second candle, because to be able to sing that hymn, we have to understand the meaning of newness and of hope. And then Wally will lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Way back in 1972, David Cassidy was singing, "How can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing?" How apt those words seem today. But what we have to remember is that our God is constant in a world where change seems rife. We can rely on him at any time and whatever our situation. At a time like this, that seems especially important to hold on to. We begin our prayers today for the world in the great hope that not only may a truly effective vaccine be found and produced really soon, but also that all our leaders may make wise decisions about how to tackle the virus and still give people some freedom. We pray for our country, that there may be more unity in it, and that people will see the many things that we all have in common. And for our own town, we also ask for peace and a real sense of togetherness. With lots of people turning to religion for answers during the present crisis, we pray that we may be the ones that can point them in the right direction of our Lord. We also ask that all our churches may become beacons of light in our community. The virus has also reminded us that we are stewards of this world and that we mess around with nature at our peril. Let us look after our beautiful world. We pray all these prayers in your precious name. Amen.
Stand for the blessing. In a world of tension and conflict, we come to you and you show us the kingdom. Bless us with wisdom, humility, and a call to service so that we may be agents of that kingdom. In your generosity, help us to be generous. In your inclusivity, help us to see your creation in its fullness. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, here and everywhere, this day and forevermore. Amen.